You're listening to the best of ESPN New York Tonight.
All right, here we go. It's ESPN New York Tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon Damer, let's get to it.
Yeah, let's get to it. We're not going to do the normal rundown, Larry, but I'm going to tell you as a way to catch everything up.
Okay.
The other three regions are all going to be open tonight for voting.
Nice.
So the Tom Brady region, he's going up against Kobe Bryant. Messi is going up against Sinatra. On the other side of the bracket, the matchups are Tony Soprano versus Prince. It's Babe Ruth versus Michael Jordan. Mm. Can't wait to see how that one turns out. Mm. And then the final region, it's Vin Scully, Tiger Woods taking. They're going up against each other. And then the final matchup of tonight is LT taking on Muhammad Ali, Larry.
Wow.
So all those matchups are now going to be up and for waiting for your votes. So we got to start moving this goat madness forward a little bit. And I will tell you, voting, Larry, is now open.
At Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. Vote now, vote now, vote now. As we're trying to move this thing along, you know, we need to.
Yeah, there's too much Nick stuff to be spending a whole lot of time running down the goat madness stuff. So
absolutely.
Let's get to it.
Absolutely. Plus, they're about to play a championship this weekend.
Right. We always somehow get behind. I'm not exactly sure how we get so far behind.
Yeah, you know, Monday there'll be the championship. We'll still be trying to figure out where we're going.
We're into May Madness at some point. I'm not sure what we're doing, but there you go.
1-800-919-3776. Danny's in Long Island. Danny, start.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York Tonight.
ESPN New York Tonight.
You talk about the goat madness. I'm proud to announce that I was actually a drop on Michael Kay's drop madness. I won my first outing against Bob Costas and then was quickly eliminated. But certainly the highlight of my life.
Did you get eliminated by Don LaGreca?
I got eliminated by, I don't know, some mental pace yelling out. That game stinks. But anyway, no, okay. Don is now eliminating Don. They carefully arranged
everything.
It's
all that he can do. Right. Don is overtaking Don. It's like being John Malkovich. It's just Don's running into Don's into Don's.
Right. I had my favorite, I thought, but it's not going to win. But anyway, listen, I caught a baseball one time, Guama, but I gave it away for unlimited coffee lattes. I think that was a bad move.
Now, yes. Who told you to put the bomb on?
Yes, I told you to put the bomb on. It's from China. You know, these seasons are so long. I swear, this Knicks season, it seems like it's been about four seasons in like one season. We're great, we're bad, we're hurt, we stink, we're back, we're bad. And it's just, and the guys who live and die, I follow all the teams and I watch them all as best I can. I don't live and die because I would have a heart attack. It's just so draining because, like, now, today's game alone, they're losing, they don't look good, they come back, they win. The Islanders are back in the playoffs. The Islanders had a 7-game winning streak. Then they lost 7 in a row. Rick DiPietro had an aneurysm on the morning show. Now they're back in the playoffs again. These seasons go on for like 8 months. The storylines change every week. The Mets barely get a hit. They hit two runs in the bottom of the ninth inning, win the game. Now they're likely to go on a road and win 6 in a row. Just, you can't make it up. It's fantastic. But these people who say they watch every single game, I don't know how they survive without getting an ulcer. It's just really amazing how long these seasons are. And I love you guys. Thank God you're on. And good luck with the goat madness.
Thanks for checking in. Listen, Gordon, as a person that unfortunately watches a whole lot of games as a fan, it is a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, no question.
And just like today, Gordon, the Mets game. Even Gary Cohen's like,
this Gary is Cohen. This team. Gary has really, he said it feels like this is rock bottom.
Yeah.
He has not held back in any way. Not that you would expect him to, but it is only 5 games. It's not like it's the middle of June.
True, but when you're sitting there and you're looking at 13 innings and your team
he's been done since that rainout the other day. He has been, he was done that day, and I don't know if they've gotten him back.
No, they haven't. He's very irritated. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Good evening, Larry, GD. Shout out to the company. Very happy for the win. And, you know, like the previous caller mentioned, you know, he doesn't know how healthy fans can do it. But, you know, sometimes fans are just fans. And we're just, you know, crazy to, you know, live and die each game. But I'm happy that we finally got the win. But, you know, it is sad that we got the news earlier about, you know, Julius Randle. And as far as the chances, it's not that I'm not going to say we don't have a high chance or a slow chance. It's just Randle, I'm not going to get back into the fourth because, you know, I'm not the biggest fan. I was a person that would rather prefer us to go through a different identity than the one that we chose. But this is the path that we chose. And we have to, you know, endure it. And it sucks because we do have to now, like what Alan Hahn mentioned earlier, entertain the thought of, you know, the contracts with Randle and even OG Anunoby, because, you know, 4 years, $180 million, I'm seeing online for the OG Anunoby possible extension. And then we're talking super match with, you know, possible the Bird rules with extension with, you know, Julius Randle. And then we're also going to offer that to Jalen Brunson. We can't forget about him. Uh-huh. So that's where it kind of, you know, gets me a little worried, because we want Isaiah Hartenstein to stay. We want Precious Achiuwa to stay. We want, you know, but where's all this money going to come for to, you know, sign the rest of the roster around the team? And these are the tough questions that we will have to sadly answer in the offseason, because it is going to be, you know, something that we will have to, you know, sadly endure, because I don't know how Leon Rose is going to have a tough job ahead of him to try to sport a roster. So hopefully, you know, we can see how that entail looks, you know, when we get to the off season. But as far as I'm happy for the win. I still think that we can possibly win a first round, depending on the right matchup and how things go. But at the end of the day, now I'm at the point where it's like, I'm just going to enjoy the ride, because this is not the team that we currently had constructed. But, and, you know, we can't, all we can do is wait till then. Have a great one, guys.
All right, Jose, thanks for the phone call. I'll say this, and it's far too early to start talking about the offseason and everything, but I'll say this, Gordon. Julius Randle's shoulder situation hurts his money. It hurts his money.
Yeah, no question. Absolutely.
Because you don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. And this might be a scenario. I don't think the Knicks are going to be able to move him. He's got to be able to play. You got to see what he can do. But, you know, this is a scenario where you're just not sure what to do. And I'm saying, to me, I don't think the max is going to be in his future for here. I just don't. I really don't. And as far as OG is concerned, Gordon, I mean, with his situation, I mean, they're going to sign him. They didn't give up.
No,
you know,
they didn't give up what they gave up not to sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're
going to sign him. He'll be here.
It's just a matter of the numbers.
Yeah. Now, maybe they'll put some clauses in his contract.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
You know.
I would like, we only have until the top of the hour, mm-hmm. where there should be a contingent of Knicks fans who are happy right now.
Yeah.
Because all I heard after the first year in the playoffs, certainly last year in the playoffs, the year they didn't make the playoffs, Randle slows down the offense, Randle's this, Randle's that. We would be better off without Randle. Mm-hmm. I heard that last year. Wasn't that long ago.
Where I heard it this
year. Where are the Randle haters? Today was your Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yep. You got to be pretty happy.
They should be. I don't know where they all went. Now, all of a sudden, he's not there. Now, look, I think that this is probably, in some ways, better for Randle, because if to reincorporate him at this point of the season, it's not like OG, who he has an offensive game, but it's secondary. Yeah. He's a complimentary piece. Randle, you bring him back in, he's going to expect major touches and running the offense through him, and He's been out for so long to try to do that. I don't think it was a good situation for him. I don't think it was a good situation for the team. But I would like to have him healthy and back and all that type of stuff. But I would just wonder. I want to know where all the Randall people who continually, constantly told me, Larry, that the Knicks were better. The offense is better without him. Where are all those people today?
Lane is always open. You can cut through.
Oh, it's going to be so much easier.
Free-flowing basketball. You know,
absolutely. Where'd they all go?
This is the way we want. This is much better. Well, we'll see. Maybe they'll pop up. Maybe they'll call us next on 98.7 ESPN. And maybe we'll take some calls now. 1-800-919-3776. Mike's in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, all y'all? Hope y'all doing good.
Yeah, we are.
Now, we're going to see what the world looks like without Randall. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that's one of our dogs, and that dog bites. Everybody can't play in New York. And he's been playing and proving because this is a tough town. And like I said, we're going to see what it looks like without him. Like everybody's complaining, get him out. He does the hug the ball. Now what? Now where's the ball going?
Yeah. I don't know who's going to take the brunt of it.
Thanks,
now.
Mike.
I guess it's going to be Tibbs. Tibbs will be the lone. It's like in an action movie where there's two people and they're fighting off all the monsters.
And then
the one guy says, hold on, I'm going to. And it's just one guy fighting off all the monsters. Uh-huh. Tibbs is now going to be the sole person to blame when things go wrong. No one else is getting the blame.
I got something I want to share with you. Richard's in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Larry, Gordon, which was more of a shock today? The Mets win or the Knicks win?
The Mets win.
Yeah, the Mets win.
No,
I got to say the Knicks because with Randall, the gloom of Randall and Sacramento coming back after that bad loss last month in Sacramento, they came out on fire. Guys are hitting three all over the place. There was no way in the world that they could come back in this game. No way. 21 down. I mean, they had every reason to lose. Yeah, the Mets was unbelievable, too, today. But I don't know. I guess I was more tuned into the Knicks game.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great win. I think this was the best win of the year. I mean, I don't want to get over dramatic, but this was unbelievable. Mets, yes, because now that at least we can go on the road trip with some sort of positivity. So that was good, and maybe the team will wake up. But this Knicks team, what they did tonight, hopefully we can just stay ahead of, you know, the other teams in the East, get the third or fourth seed, so we'll be in a little better position with that. But even without, as long as we keep winning the games that we should win. And today I can't say we should win. This was a good team, Sacramento. So This was a great win. And, I you know, really, you got to hand it to Tibbs. He pulled all the right buttons. Hey, did you see the guy that the Knicks traded the other few months ago?
Yeah, Flynn.
That month ago? Yeah,
got 50 Flynn, last 50. Night.
And Larry off the bench.
I know.
He wasn't starting.
No.
He must have came in, and the coach said, "Nah, you're going to stay the rest of the game." And he must have been hitting from right away and hitting often and fast and everything. Okay, guys, always a pleasure.
All right, Richard. Thanks for checking in. 1-800-919-3776. More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Well, it was a tough day for Knicks fans. You got the news you didn't want to hear, but they win tonight. Gordon and I have a lot to discuss, and we'll do it next. Want to hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98.7 FM, along with Harvey and Chantel. We ride until midnight on 98.7. Hey, Gordon Damer.
Larry Hardesty, how are you feeling, my friend?
Here's the first, I'll tell you in a second. Here's the most important question that I want to know.
Okay.
I've been worried. I've been concerned. Uh-huh. I've been thinking about this. How is Molly? I need a Molly.
Molly is doing just fine. She's back to her old self, eating anything and everything she can find, scouring the garbage cans, looking high and low for anything that she can chew on. She's absolutely fine.
All right. In case you missed last night, Molly is the Damer.
Yeah, Molly had gotten into the chocolate bunnies and ate three chocolate bunnies and had to be rushed to the emergency room at 6 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't eat the chocolate bunnies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No. Had to do it at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you know, it's attention. She was starving.
Right, it was breakfast. Sure, absolutely.
You know, you guys got to get up early and take care of Molly. Molly,
exactly.
Molly wants an early breakfast.
apparently.
Gordon, I got to tell you, and we'll go right to top stories because this is it. I got to tell you, this began like a day that I was not going to be happy about. Mm-hmm. Watch a little baseball, thought I wasn't going to be happy about that either. But Julius Randle revealed today, Gordon, that he suffered a setback 5 weeks ago that ultimately led to a decision to have season-ending surgery on his shoulder. Nick Starr told Bleacher Report that he had tried everything in his power to return from the shoulder issue that first reared its ugly head on January 27th. But after going through a full contact session with pads, he re-injured the shoulder 5 weeks ago that forced him to have to undergo the procedure. So Gordon Damer, he is done for the season and not sure if he will be able to start next season on time.
Well, you know me, Larry, and I think you feel the same way. I love the audience. You love the audience. And when I saw that news today, I thought to myself, how do you tell someone you love, I told you so?
Yeah.
Because this is exactly the way it felt like it was going to go down. Now, I thought at least maybe there was the outside chance that he would get back on a court and at least physically be there. He wouldn't be the same Julius Randle that we've come to expect, but at least maybe the chance. But as the days went by, and there was no updates, right? There was no movement. There was no, he's going to do this next. He's going to do that next. This just felt like the way it was going to go. And I think you're better finding this out now, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
There's nobody riding to the rescue. There's nobody coming and showing up that's going to save you from the issues. Whatever issues you have from now into the playoffs, this is the group. Figure it out.
Yep. And they did a pretty good job figuring it out in the game tonight that you heard right here on 98.7 ESPN. Didn't start out well, Gordon Damer, but Brunson with 35-11, Hart 31-9 and 8 assists, Dante DiVincenzo 21-5, Bogdanovich starting to play well, Gordon, 12 points, and Deuce McBride had a tough shooting night. He had 12 points, and Hartenstein, 7 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Knicks with a nice win over a very feisty Kings team.
Yeah, and when the game got started, the way it got started, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, here's more of this. This was a game they had to get. They have to start picking up some wins. This is an important one to get just to end the three-game losing skid, to kind of get the taste out of your mouth from earlier in the day, the news about Julius Randle. So they stepped up big, and I mean, what else can you say about Jalen Brunson, right?
Oh,
what have we not said already about Jalen Brunson? He was just a magician down the stretch of this one. He's incredible. What a signing. What a move. And thank God the Knicks have Jalen Brunson.
There's no question about that. Thank God the Mets have Pete Alonso, Gordon Damer. He launched the tying home run leading off the ninth inning. Tyrone Taylor lined a game-winning single in the Mets after going, get this, 13 innings without a hit. Rally passed the Tigers 2-1 for their first victory of the season and the doubleheader split. After they blew a 3-run lead in the opener, lost 6-3 in 11 innings. After Colt Keith hit a tie-breaking double and Gio Urshela added a 2-run single.
Well, I'm glad that this happened because it felt like, I don't know, maybe because we're involved in sports talk radio and everybody's got to jump to whatever thing is going on right now. Mm-hmm. The doom and gloom, as if the Mets season was over after 5 games, it's getting a little carried away. Now, I don't think that they're going to have a great season. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. But I think that they'll probably kind of float near 500, maybe a little below 500. But you would think that with all the doom and gloom you heard after 5 games, it was like they had no chance of ever winning a game or ever scoring a run. Like, Francisco Lindor has gotten off to a horrendous start.
Yes.
I'm fairly confident at some point Francisco Lindor is going to put up Francisco Lindor numbers. Brandon Nimmo has gotten off to an atrocious start. At some point, Brandon Nimmo is going to put up Brandon Nimmo-type numbers. So I think that people are getting a little carried away. Again, it's not going to be a great season. I don't think it's going to be a playoff season. But believe it or not, the season is not over on April 4th.
No, it's not over on April 4th, even though it looks that way.
It might feel that way when you're watching inning after inning go by.
But I think, Gordon, part of it is people look at it as an extension of last year. Not that it's a new season. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is they struggled like this last year. We were under 500 last year. And now we're just, you know, it's not supposed to be great. And now it's going to be even worse than what they're telling us. So I just think it's a combination of seasons as opposed to it's like, oh, we just picked up right where they left off. So I think that's kind of what you're seeing as well.
I get that. And it was a very frustrating. I mean, it was like last year after the trade deadline, it was like they gave up as an organization. So
yeah.
I can understand where that frustration came from. But if it were, if it was the fact that the pitching had been terrible, I could buy into, okay, these are really alarming signs. I think the Mets are going to hit. I think even Jeff McNeil, I don't know if Jeff McNeil is going to hit 300, but I'm fairly confident he's going to do better than hitting 067 on the season.
God, I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be a long,
season. And you know what really has to be, and I don't feel like anybody's brought this up, the three guys who are struggling, if you really believe that these guys are fundamentally flawed at this point, Nimmo, I think, is signed for 7 more years. Lindor is signed for 8 more years. And McNeil is signed for, I think, 2 or 3 more years. So that's not what you want.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Hopefully, go on the road, turn some things around. Well, Gordon, Shohei Ohtani is in the news again. You know, he hit his first home run with the Dodgers last night, ended up getting the ball from a fan for not a whole lot. You know, there's normally negotiation and, you know, everything here. But in this case, the supporter and her husband believes that the team took advantage of her as the Dodgers secured the ball for Ohtani. So here's what happened. Okay. Bottom of the seventh, Ohtani launched the ball on Giants reliever Taylor Rogers, 430 feet into right center field. Ended up being the difference maker, 5-4 win over their arch rival. Now, according to Sportsnet LA, the home broadcast of the game showed the lucky fan, whose name is Amber Roman, as per The Athletic, came away with the home run ball, though she didn't get much in return. I think she got two autographed hats, caps, a signed baseball, and a bat. And what was crazy was one of the published reports, I think it was The Athletic, I'm not sure, Gordon, interviewed a person that's involved in memorabilia, and said that ball would have been worth $100,000.
Right. Well, we kind of know that. And I think that what has happened here, this is not the first time that somebody has caught one of these balls and the organization has put real pressure on them to make a deal in the moment, right?
Yes.
Like, I think that happened with Judge's home runs late in the season. I would just say, like, this is an adult woman.
Yes.
She's a grown adult, so what could they possibly be threatening her with? Kicking her out of the game? Stealing the ball from her? Mm-hmm. I think she probably got caught up in the moment, found out later on how much the ball really potentially could have been worth, and probably has a little buyer's remorse and regrets her decision and is now going back and saying the organization made, I don't know, threats or what could they possibly do? Kick you out?
Yeah, well, Gordon, apparently she was with her husband.
Right.
And what happened was they refused to let the husband talk to her. They kind of separated the two of them. And so he was trying to get to her to
look,
say,
again,
like, you know, you got to do something. You got to, you know, hold out for more.
Here's the thing and where I go to in my life. I am not smart, right? I fully believe I am not the smartest person in the world. But in that situation, if they told me you can't, if I said to them, I want to talk to my wife about this first, and they said no, I would walk away from any negotiation at that point. That would be a deal breaker right then and there.
I'm taking the ball and going home.
I'm taking my ball and going home. Exactly.
Yep. And so and then allegedly Ohtani said he spoke to the fan. But the fans say they never heard from him. So it's not good.
Are they going to blame this on the interpreter again? What was the guy's name? Is Ahara's fault again? It's all his. He got his cell phone. Oh, that is Ahara. Oh no!
See? Again, another
up to
situation.
His old tricks.
Yep. They probably offered $1,000, then they went to the bank and there was no money left.
Right. Wait a second. All the money's gone. Izahara got the PIN code again.
Oh, man. If I could only get an interpreter, they won't steal money. Those are the top stories inside this edition of ESPN New York Tonight for Thursday night. When we return, of course, we'll take your phone calls. I know you guys want to weigh in. How do you feel about the Knicks' chances now with no Julius Randle? I know a lot of you, not big Julius Randle fans, but this is a huge blow. And oh, by the way, any idea when OG Anunoby's going to get back on the floor? I mean, he looked great on the sideline with glasses and the sweatshirt. Hoodie, would love to see him on the floor. And of course, another region reveal. There's people moving in Goat Madness. Lots to do next on 98.7 ESPN.
Now is the time to switch to Spectrum. Get Spectrum Internet delivering fast and reliable speeds for just $39.99 a month, plus free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G. Ask how you can get a Visa Rewards card up to $500 when you add more mobile lines. Internet, advanced Wi-Fi, and mobile. Get it all with Spectrum One. Go to Spectrum.com for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-1010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-1010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-1010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
For general 98.7 ESPN contest rules, visit ESPNNewYork.com/contests. WEPN-FM, New York, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road 365 days a year, rescuing over 77 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city, one day, one meal, and one New Yorker at a time. That's how we feed good. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 1-800-983-6530. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-983-6530 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 1-800-983-6530 right now to schedule your vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-983-6530 now. This advertisement is paid for by Heritage for the Blind.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Brunson sets him a screen, and now Brunson has the ball. Met by that double team. Bounce pass, left side of the elbow for Hartenstein, cutting across the lane. What a move by Hart. Spins to his right and finishes off the glass.
Pat O'Keefe and Monica McNutt with the call here on 98.7 ESPN. Josh Hart, outstanding game tonight. Gordon Damer, he's really played well, but he hasn't scored a lot. He's been heavy on the assists, heavy on the rebounds. He put up some numbers tonight, and boy, the Knicks needed it.
Yeah, and you'd have to think, like, moving forward, where is the offense coming from? Like, you always expect it's going to be Brunson for sure, and you're hoping that OG is going to come back here before too long, and certainly DiVincenzo. It's like almost like if when you lose your starting pitcher, your number one or maybe your number two starting pitcher, everybody's got to move up a little bit. Everybody's going to have to move up a little bit. And Josh Hart's he's a guy where he gives you what you need in any given situation. Now, I don't know that he's going to give you 31 points a night,
right.
But I think that now he's going to know that he's going to be relied on more for a little bit of scoring, and I'm sure he'll be able to provide that.
Yep, no doubt about that. Back to the phones we go at 1-800-919-3776. Patrick's in Brooklyn. Patrick, you are next on 98.7.
Good evening, gentlemen. You're asking where the Julius Randle haters are?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm one person. I don't care for him very, very, very much. His saving grace was when the Knicks got Jalen Brunson. That's number one. Yes, we're going to meet him because we're going to miss his scoring. But at the same time, I don't think we'll go in, like, to the final right now. I think it's the Celtics' year. I have a wish list. Like, say one of these top teams have an early exit, whether it be the Timberwolves, whether it be the Bucks, whether it be the Suns. Do you think somebody would want to get traded out of one of those teams? And also, I have a question for you guys. What do you think the Knicks, I mean, not the Knicks, the Giants will do with their number six pick in the draft if we don't, with J.J. McCarthy keeps stock rising, who is our best?
That's an interesting question, Patrick. Thanks for the phone call, because I saw an article today where, you know, it looks like this author thought that the Giants are going to actually pick a quarterback in the second round, Gordon.
Well, I'll say this. I don't know if Joe Shane is a good GM or a bad GM. Uh-huh. There's evidence to support both. Uh-huh. But if the goal is to be the opposite of the guy you took the job from, he has done a very good job of that. Because remember, when Dave Gettleman was the GM, going into the draft, we always knew where the Giants were going.
Yep.
We knew the year with Saquon Barkley. We knew that they liked Daniel Jones. Now, we didn't think he was going to be the sixth pick. We thought it was going to be the other pick in the first round, but we knew that they liked Daniel Jones. And then the year they took the left tackle, it was just a question of which left tackle. Listening to the story surrounding the Giants, they're going to do one of – this is the list. Draft a wide receiver, draft a quarterback, trade up for a quarterback, trade down. They could do anything. Nobody has a real read on what the Giants are going to do, and maybe the Giants don't know yet because they don't know what's going to happen in front of them or what players are going to be available. But it seems like every time you start to feel like you get a little clarity on the Giants, it feels like something changes, and that's probably good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Wyatt's in Brooklyn, in the Bronx. Wyatt, you're next on 98.7.
Hello, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Wyatt.
Good, good. I just had a quick few comments. I'm not necessarily a Randall hater, but there's a few things about this game that we saw definitely deteriorate the Knicks. Not deteriorate, but definitely hinder them from going to that next level as far as team basketball goes. You know, a lot of ISO ball dribbling and just, you know, getting double teamed and waiting until the last second to pass it to a teammate. I think with this Knicks team now, knowing that Julius is not there, you got guys like Bogdanović who could look in the mirror and say, hey, I need to produce more. You know, we saw Josh do it today. We saw McBride, DiVincenzo. And, you know, it's the 1A team. It's the classic team where it's not necessarily two stars, but they know it's one star, and they depend on Brunson. And it's just up to the squad to complement that every night. So, you know, I'm not saying we can go to the chip, but I still think we can have a good year. Yeah, that's my two cents.
All right, Wyatt. Thanks for the phone call.
I think it was, like, under the best case scenario, I think that the Knicks ceiling this year was Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody who's talking about winning a championship this year, you're out of your mind. This is not a championship. But if you could progress from where you were last year, where you won a playoff series, now you win two playoff series, that puts you in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting to me for all these people who say, oh, Randall's this. He will be – you know who he's going to be, Larry? He's going to be the guy that when he's not on the team anymore, Knicks fans talk about him with such reverence. Mm. And they we loved Randall. No, you didn't love Randall. Not all of you loved Randall.
No.
In his time here, the first year was a disaster. We all wanted him out. Okay, fine. Since Tibbs has been here, the first year with Tibbs, he was the most improved player in the league. He was second All-NBA. 2 years ago – or the second year, he had a down year. The Knicks had a down year. Following year, he was All-NBA third team. He was an All-Star, and he was an All-Star this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to think that guy, I get it. He's been terrible in the playoffs, and that's a major question that he had to think that you're better off with him not even being an option.
Mm-hmm.
Not even being there. I think that that's a level of delusion that I don't reach.
And fans are looking at it, and once again, I get it. He's a flawed player.
No,
but there's not a perfect player in the league. Everybody does that. Even the Joker.
Right.
Even the Joker who's cruising to another MVP has flaws in his game.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's looking at the offense. Gordon, defensively, he's a guy that takes up space. You lose height. Look at the battles that the Knicks are going to have when they face Orlando. That's a big front line. You could use that size and bulk there from a defensive standpoint. yes, I know about the offense, and he does this, he dribbles. You're right. You're right. You're 100% right about his dribbling and the Randle handle and the turnovers and all the waiting for the double team and all that stuff. But there's other things that he does. And even as a diversion, Gordon, at least there's somebody you have to account that could put the ball in the basket. Now that pressure goes to a bunch of other players. And when you play, listen, no disrespect to Sacramento. They're a very good team. They're a team that if they were in the East, they'd be probably the fourth or fifth seed like the Knicks because they have the same record. They're trying to stay out of the play-in right now. But, you know, when you get to the postseason, as Gordon mentioned, is Josh Hart going to give you 30 points a night? Is Bogdanovich going to be that good off the bench? I don't know. I don't know that that's going to happen.
And what did we all say after the first year that they made the playoffs? Well, it's clear that they need more talent, and it's clear that Randle is not a number one on a high-level team. He's probably not even a number two on a high-level team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this would have been the year where he would – Brunson's clearly the guy who's the number one.
Right.
And then for number two, with Randle coming off the injury, he probably wasn't even going to be the number two because you would have been working him back in. DiVincenzo's been more of a role. OG seems like he's going to. This would have been the year where you were less reliant on Randle, and maybe he was kind of in the proper spot to prosper, and now he's not going to be there at all.
Yeah. Yep. It's a tough spot for you. It really is. Mo's in the Bronx. What's up, Mo?
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Mo.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, we got you, Mo.
Go ahead.
So, first, let me defend some of the Randle haters. I don't think that we're ever saying let him, like, disappear. You know, most of them were saying...
No, they were. They were absolutely saying they were better off without Randle.
Yeah, but, let's get somebody from... Wasn't he, like, in the cat trade talks? Like... Put him in with the cat trade with
yeah,
with
but no, there Jackson. there were plenty of Knicks fans who felt like they would be better. The offense runs better when Randle is not a part of it.
Mo, they wanted to drive him to the airport.
Yeah,
I'm just saying they wanted to drive him to the airport.
No question,
they wanted him out.
But get somebody for him. I don't know. I heard a lot of
Everybody wants to trade Randle for a true superstar when that's not realistic. But so there, yeah, that's a larger group. But no, there is absolutely a sizable contingent of Knicks fans who, after the first year and certainly after last year, felt like they were better off without Randle, and were not really all that worried about Randle coming back.
All right, Mo. Thanks for the phone call. 1-800-919-3776. More calls next on 98.7 ESPN. By the way, you still have opportunities to vote. We're getting a bunch of folks in for GOAT Madness. Gordon, I took a little peek, as I always do. I'm just amazed. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just amazed.
There's only one that I would say is wrong, but I don't want to say which one it is. But let the voters decide.
I'm amazed. That's all I'm going to say. I'm amazed.
Right. You're not allowed to, like, campaign at the election site, so I don't want to campaign at the election site.
No, we're not doing that. We're going to the phones. Tony's in the car. What's up, Tony? Tony?
Gentlemen, how
are
you?
There he is. Hey, Tony, what's going on?
Larry, my man, and Gordon, my dude, what is going on? What is going on? So for all of the Randle haters, right? Because, you know, Randle had that saying in the playoffs, well, maybe the other team is better. Okay. I hate his attitude, but please tell me, where are we getting 25-9 from? No one. We're not getting it from anyone. And does anyone remember January? If we still had that same team from January, right now, we could be in second place. Easy. Because no one scares me other than Boston. Milwaukee doesn't scare me. Miami doesn't scare me. And Pat Riley is in his office right now smoking a cigar going, job well done getting Randle out of here and getting him hurt. Because I'm sure they did it on purpose. But I also called to say right about now, the Knicks, we needed this win so badly. And Josh Hart, thank you for showing up. All right? But once again, with Randle and also with my man Brunson, Yo, we were primed. I'm talking people off the ledge when I heard this situation about Randle. I'm going, I cannot believe he's out for the season. Because, once again, that was the guy, him and OG. And in January, we were so hot. We were so hot. And when we heard all of a sudden now he's out for the season, hearts were gone. I wasn't wanting a championship. I just wanted to get to the conference final. That's all I wanted. And then we could build from that. We got first-round picks, and we got things that we can work with in the offseason. We were cooking. So right about now, we can say, okay, let's get to the second round. If we can get out, great. But if not, I am going to enjoy the ride. I just came back from the game and had a wonderful time with my dad. And, guys, thank you so very much. Like I said, let's go Knicks. We still got blue and orange skies. Have a great night, guys.
All right, Tony, thanks for checking in. Gordon, tomorrow night, they can't come out like they did against San Antonio. You're playing Chicago. Yep. You got to beat Chicago.
Absolutely.
Got to beat them.
There's certain games where they're going to be tough the rest of the way, but then there's other ones where they got to win. The Nets game, they got to win. These Bulls games, they got to win. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Nope.
And hopefully the Spurs game will be the lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, it's going to be tough. Guys played a lot of minutes tonight, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
They played a lot of minutes.
if they're not used to that by now, Larry.
You know? And it's late in the season. I get it. But you got to find a way to beat that Chicago team. And Gordon, you can't let them hang around.
No.
You can't let them hang around. Put them out early.
Mm-hmm.
Put them out early. Lavelle's in Yonkers. Lavelle, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Listen, Gordon, you put out the bat signal for the Randle haters. And
yeah.
I picked up the phone. You know, I've called you many a time, Gordon, and talked to you about mostly about my disdain for Tibbs, but, you know, there's always time to throw that in. But before I even get started, I meant to call in. The GOAT madness, the fact that you have George Carlin over Richard Pryor, I lost interest in.
No. Richard Pryor was a number two seed in there. George Carlin, I believe, was like a 13. So, no. Richard Pryor was much higher seed. Now, Richard Pryor did lose in his opening matchup to Sinatra.
That's fair.
I don't know what I can do about that.
That's fair. But so here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and say the Knicks are better off without Randle, but I'm going to just state the fact. What fact do we have playoff-wise, strictly talking playoffs, that they're worse off without him? This would be, only his third time in his entire career making the playoffs. And that in itself is a disadvantage, the fact that he started making the playoffs so late in his career. He just doesn't have – Here's the thing about Tom Thibodeau teams, and Tibbs loves him because he plays hard, he plays defense, and that's Tibbs is the kind of guy, I'm just going to put my five best guys out there and play them until their knees falls off. That's his coaching style. So now, hopefully, since he's such a great coach, everyone says he's so great, without Randle, he'll have to step up, choose other people. Because case in point, and I ask you both this question. If our starting five had never gotten hurt, including Mitch, if our starters had never gotten hurt this season, would we know – how good Hartenstein is? Will we know about Precious Achiuwa? Will we know? Look at this guy Flynn over here dropping 50. He doesn't explore what he has on the team. This forces him to have to have other people step up. And what I will give Thibodeau credit for is these guys play hard for him. I still think we can make the Eastern Conference Finals. I still think we can, even without.
Okay, so you still think with Randle, right? Randle's not that big of a loss, so you still think they can make the Eastern Conference Finals. If they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals, would you be willing to admit, hey, you know what? Maybe having Randle might have helped?
Of course it would. Yeah, I'm not ignorant. I just think, here's the thing. I will say this. Like, we need OG back. I think OG's presence does something to this team. I think as long as we have OG, we'll be fine. Now, if we don't have either one, then I think the Eastern Conference Finals is out of the deal. Look, I would hope that he would come out of his playoff funk, but I'm just simply saying we don't have any proof to say he's a super asset in the playoffs. His first two sample sizes were not much to write home about. Now, I understand he was injured last season, but it is what it is. Like, I don't know. I don't have any proof that he's so great in the playoffs. All I'm simply saying is This team plays hard. That's the one thing I'll give Tibbs. These guys want to run through a brick wall for him. So that's the one plus about him. He may not be a great X's and O's goal guy, but he makes them really want to play hard. And again, like another caller said, I'm not really afraid of anybody other than Boston. And even Boston, honestly, sometimes in sports you just need something to break your way. They're known to choke. And I will say this, as much as I get on Tibbs, their coach is an absolute jabroni. So we know he can't outcoach anybody. So you know, I mean, hey, things could swing our way. I'm not going to
okay.
get crazy.
All right, well, let me ask you this, LaVelle, happen. Before we let you go. If the Knicks lose in the first round this year, right, they'll have a pretty good seed, right? I don't know what the matchup's going to be just yet. But if they lose in the opening round this year after winning a playoff series last year, aren't you willing to concede that maybe having Randle would have helped?
No, I'll be happy because maybe they'll fire Tibbs and we can hire Jay Wright. Don't tease
that's
me.
Not gonna happen. That's not
gonna
happen.
Nah, Jay Wright's not coming here, LaVelle. Thanks for the phone call. Jay Wright's not coming. And, you know, they're not firing Tibbs.
They're not firing Tibbs.
They're not firing LaVelle. They're not firing him. Look what he's
doing. You better get on board. Look, I'm not going
to
tell somebody what to do, but if Tibbs being the coach, what more do you want the guy to do? Larry, what did they want the guy to do?
Play.
He came here and they won right away. They didn't strip it down and promise you 3 years from now we're going to be good. They made it good. And again, you and I were both skeptical of the move, but we base it on the evidence we have. The guy has been fantastic.
Yep.
And he's going to get a contract extension.
He definitely is. And I'll say this in Randall's defense. That first year they went to the playoffs, he was it.
Go look at what he has.
He was it.
Right.
He was it. It was so bad, they had to get Derrick Rose in the trade deadline to help him out.
Yeah.
Because they
had
no scoring.
Go look at that roster.
He was it.
Elfrid Payton.
Yeah. And so when you say that, well, you know, late in his career, whatnot, what teams was he? Who did these teams have? I mean, I know he's with the Lakers, but the Lakers weren't the Lakers then.
And we're not making it out like Randall is the superstar or anything like that, but you would like to have a piece like that as an option.
Yes.
At this point of the year.
Yep, absolutely. I know Brunson misses him.
I'm sure he does. I know Josh Hart's probably going to get the Epsom salts, get the hyperbaric chamber, get all the stuff you're going to have.
Yeah.
You're going to go to work.
And Gordon, a lot of pressure on OG Anunoby right now.
Yep.
A lot of pressure on OG Anunoby to get off the bench. And once again, you know, you kind of get the idea that they really just, they don't want to put him out there until the very last minute. You kind of get that idea.
I get it.
So he's ready for the postseason, but he's got to, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to perform and play in the postseason, whether he's hurt, whether he's banged up. A lot of pressure on him. A lot of pressure on him to produce. And be on the court. Lots.
Just before we go to break.
Yes, sir.
That year, the first year, the Knicks' third leading scorer that year was Derrick Rose.
That's right. And he was here half a year.
Right. 15 half points a game.
Half
After
year.
That, it was Alec Burks.
Yeah.
And Reggie Bullock.
Mm-hmm. Who was inconsistent. He was great in the regular season. Postseason, not so much.
Not so much.
And that's what happens, Gordon. That's what we're talking about. Those players, you know, when you get to that next level, you get to the postseason where, you know, everybody, teams are better. You don't get a chance to have games where you, oh, I had an off game against this team, but, you know, we're playing some other teams and I'm able to get my game back and get a, you know, get a rhythm going. You don't get a rhythm going in the series. You're done. It's over.
Like, and unlike the Mets season, which is over in five games, like we were joking earlier.
Yeah.
Playoff series sometimes are over in five games.
Yeah.
They're sometimes over even before five games.
Absolutely. More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.